Well, we are delighted and thankful for yet another privilege to worship together and explore the riches of God's Word together. This afternoon, as Jeremy mentioned, we continue in our Justice Film series, and the film this afternoon is called Don't Tell Anyone, and it helps us to think about the issues surrounding the challenges of immigration. So we're thankful for that. And we're thankful today that we can dwell even in relation maybe a little bit to what we'll be looking at this afternoon, to the idea of hospitality and what that means and how it unfolds in our Christian walk. And in that light, I'd like to turn your attention to the 18th chapter of Genesis, beginning at the first verse. And we will read, in addition to verses 1 through 8, we'll read verses 1 through 10. Here is the word of the Lord. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, where he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three shehas of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and discerning of God's word. Shall we pray? Lord, in a world where our lives are hurried and busy and overwrought, remind us of the graciousness of a welcoming heart and open arms. Remind us of the divine nature of hospitality. Remind us by the examples that you set before us how not only should our arms be open, our hearts and our spirits be open, but that we would be perceptive to the blessings that you bestow that come to us in so many ways from so many different places. Hear us now as we seek to be your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you hear this passage, I want you to get in your mind what's really being illustrated here. It says to us that the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Now, keep in mind by way of geography where we're talking about, and note that the heat of the day truly was the heat of the day. Note that we're not talking about a pleasant low humidity, 72 degrees. I remember on one occasion being in the Jordan Valley, I kid you not, by way of Fahrenheit, not centigrade. We were standing there in the Qumran ruins, and it was 120 degrees. I didn't happen to have an egg with me, but if I had one, I could have made a fried egg sandwich, most likely there on the pavement. But the reality is the heat of the day that we're hearing about here was an oppressive heat and a heat that really slowed human activity down. That's why, for example, when we read later on about the woman at the well who comes midday to the well, it's odd because people had enough common sense to not function in the midst of the heat of the day. You probably, maybe some of you have made the quote mistake, unquote, of either going yourself or taking your children to the zoo on a hot summer afternoon. And you wonder why you don't see any animals. Well, maybe they've got a little bit more sense than you to stay out of the heat on a hot summer day. So Abraham is sitting at the entrance of his tent at the height of a hot day. And keep in mind that Abraham, just prior to this, had a previous visitation that told him of the covenant promises and blessings that God would give if Abraham walked in obedience. So I would like to think that most likely Abraham is sitting here at his tent in the heat of the day, pondering, thinking, being preoccupied with how his life is going to unfold and how it is that God is in some way going to interact with him and Sarah. And therefore, it's reasonable to think that Abraham was, if you will, preoccupied with his own circumstance and his own situation. And if we stop there and think about it, Abraham is often like us a lot, because oftentimes we find ourselves preoccupied with our own circumstance and our own situation, trying to figure it out, what it all means and how it's going to unfold. And when we are in that frame of mind, we're not really thinking too much about other people or other situations or other circumstances. We're pretty much focused on ourselves. So it's reasonable to think that Abraham at this moment was caught up in his own concerns and his own situation and how things were going to unfold for him and his family. And therefore, it would be reasonable to think that Abraham wouldn't really have much focus or interest on any outside circumstances. But we see that that's not the case. For it tells us that in the heat of that day, he looks up and he sees three men standing nearby. But notice what the story says about Abraham's response. It says when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bow low to the ground. Now, that may not seem like much, but think about it for a moment. Even though Abraham could have legitimately been caught up in his own concerns, his own worries, his own preoccupation, when he saw these three men, the immediate response that welled up in him was the response of extending himself, of, if you will, being hospitable, extending hospitality. And it doesn't say to us that Abraham kind of looked suspiciously off into the distance at these three men and wondered, what in the world are they doing out here in the heat of the day? It doesn't tell us that Abraham tried to figure out whether or not it would be advantageous to him to entertain or extend hospitality to these three individuals. It doesn't tell us that Abraham thought, well, are they a threat to my community and my well-being and my way of life? No, it tells us that Abraham saw them, got up, and rushed to them to extend himself to them. But it goes on to tell us that as he saw them, he said, please, come and abide with us. Now, of course, it would be understood in that part of the world especially to extend hospitality to those who were traveling, to those who were on a journey. And the word hospitality is interesting because it involves both the host and the guest. And in hospitality, oftentimes the one who is the host extends themselves in such a way that the one who is the guest, because they become, if you will, more important, trades places, if you will, with the host. And so Abraham extends himself. He goes to these three mysterious men in the heat of the day, and he really says to them, how can I give of myself to you by way of hospitality? And it starts out small. He says, well, you know, just maybe a little bit of water and, you know, maybe a small something to bide you over on your journey. But then we read, of course, it says that he hurried back into Sarah and he says, first get 3 seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. And note something here, that same word that's used for that flour points to the fact that this was not just King Arthur or Pillsbury or whomever. This was high quality. This was the flour that Solomon's court would use when they were entertaining visitors. So it tells us something about the measure of investment that Abraham and Sarah put into this moment. It says that, in other words, let's bring out our best for these who come to us. And then it tells us that he found the tenderest of calves and had a servant prepare it and brought out milk and curds. So what had started out as maybe a meager snack on the way turns out into a royal feast. And some people say, well, how did that happen? And, you know, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew scriptures, around the passages, there the rabbis used to write commentary. And in the commentary, they would answer some of those kinds of questions and give thought to it. Well, in one of those responses to this, one rabbi said, really, that those who are righteous speak little, but do much. So in other words, even though Abraham didn't say to these visitors, well, we're going to sort of shift and now give you a feast of all feasts, that was in his heart to do. He really wanted to give of himself in the fullest measure possible. So it tells us that indeed Abraham got out of his own self-absorption, ran to meet these visitors, and then extended himself to them. You know, in Abraham doing that, Abraham is really sort of wrestling with a question that we see over and over again in Scripture. Who is our neighbor? And in a sense, am I my brother's keeper? Abraham is working through that idea that somehow we are called by way of who we are to give of ourselves to those whom we encounter. And in doing so, we're doing something that reflects the way in which God works in our lives. So when Abraham invites these strangers to come, these 3 strangers, and gives of himself in a full measure and calls upon his household to do the same, it gives us an outline and an example of how we ought to live out hospitality in order to give glory to God. Because you see, Abraham stepped outside of himself and his own concerns. Maybe that's the first thing we need to remember, that it's not all about us, all about you, all about me. But the very fact is that God calls us to have concern, compassion, and care for those around us, those whom we encounter, to welcome the stranger. So the very first thing that Abraham models for us is to step out. It would have been reasonable to think that Abraham would have been absorbed and consumed in his own thoughts. But God calls upon him to step out of that to speak to the needs of those whom he encounters. And God calls upon each of us to make sure we always realize that if we're really going to reflect grace, we have to reflect it in how we treat others, how we extend ourselves to others. And it tells us that Abraham ran to them in anticipation of giving hospitality. No, he didn't assess before he ran to them whether their coming into his environs would somehow upset the employment equation. No, he didn't equate in their coming to them whether or not they would have some negative effect on the security of his surroundings. No, he realized that here were those whom he could show the love of God, and that's what he sought to do. What a powerful message for us in this day and age as we wrestle individually, as we wrestle societally, as we wrestle nationally with what it means to extend our hearts and compassion to those who, if you will, come knocking at our door. Whether it's somebody who comes just seeking to live out a life that enriches not only of some themselves, but indeed those around them. Whether it's somebody who's coming to seek shelter and refuge from those very things that would harm and take their lives, we, like Abraham, ought to run to the opportunity to extend ourselves in loving care. Who is our neighbor? The one who looks like us?
The one who sounds like us, the one who is familiar, has the same idea, belongs to the same political party. Who is our neighbor? If we really understand what grace is, we'll understand that truly our neighbor, more than anything else, is the stranger we meet in unexpected circumstances. So Abraham rushes to these travelers in the heat of the day, steps into a circumstance where he gives of himself, and not just simply gives of himself and calls upon his family to give of themselves, but gives fully and freely and joyfully. So it tells us that Abraham does this, and later on, if you read the story, if you continue in the story, you realize that the conversation around whether or not there will be a child is reintroduced. But I want you to remember this. This is not a give and get scenario. Because sometimes, and I think it's a dangerous theology that gets preached in a whole lot of places, that if we give, you know, they call it the prosperity gospel. But that if we give, well, then the obvious response to that is what we'll get. You know, if we sow a seed, then we'll get in return. But understand something here. That's not grace. Because if you give of yourself with the expectation of something in return, that's just simply transaction. And God didn't come to be about transaction. God came to be about grace. So when we give of ourselves fully and freely without anything and expect it in return, then we're reflecting the kind of grace that we've received. Don't be so worried about whether or not it's going to cost you effort and even resource. Show grace, because the grace that you received cost God the fullest measure of effort and the greatest resource that God had, his only son. So understand that this morning. The model we have here is to give of ourselves fully and freely and not be worried about what comes in return, but understand that the giving of grace reflects and honors God in the fullest measure. Oh, wouldn't that change some of the conversation that we're hearing now as we swirl around the issue of to whom do we extend ourselves, to whom do we open our arms, to whom do we open our doors? If we said the issue was showing grace and compassion, showing an understanding of what it means to be merciful, maybe that represents what we can be in the greatest measure as a society and certainly as a nation. So I'm willing to abide by Abraham's example, even in the heat of my own day, even in the midst of my own adversities and challenges and struggles. Even when I could otherwise be consumed and caught up in my own worries, I'm called to extend myself to those whom I encounter, to those who knock at my door, if you will. So we see Abraham and his household give of themselves in full measure, not really looking at this as a transaction, but as an opportunity to show love and to show grace and to show mercy, and to show kindness, even though it's the heat of the day, even though he was otherwise preoccupied. But then, of course, as these men eat, and they're given the full measure of attention that Abraham and his household give them, the blessings do come. But they don't come because of how much food Abraham and Sarah prepared. They don't come because of how quickly he ran to them. They come because God is already in the business of extending grace. And the model that we see here is one that we should follow. Now, I will tell you something. Shortly after this passage and this wonderful account, there's a very difficult passage in Scripture. And we come upon the issue of the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, we visited that story many times, and we seem to understand it, but I'll just say this to you. It's not the sermon text for today, so we won't hover around it too long, but the real issue in Sodom and Gomorrah, the real issue is not what we oftentimes attach to it, but the real issue is that the hospitality that we see in this passage, The absolute opposite and negative was what unfolded there in Sodom and Gomorrah. So in other words, instead of hospitality, when there is a selfishness, when there is a self-centeredness toward one's own desires and one's own purposes, well, the outcome of that, as we see in the context of Sodom and Gomorrah, ends up being one of destruction. So we have the two models in front of us. Do we extend ourselves in loving care and hospitality, not worried about what we get in return, because that's the reflection of what God has done to us? Or do we come to a situation like this preoccupied with what's in it for me, and how can I protect my own? And how can I make sure that nobody gets over on me? Well, then we see the outcome of that narrative as well, just a few verses after this one. So do understand that Abraham and Sarah and company teach us much. You may be in your own heat of the day right now. There may be a lot that presses down upon you and surrounds you, but you can still show grace. You can still be loving and welcoming. You may have a lot of things that consume and preoccupy your heart and your mind right now, like Abraham no doubt did as he sat at the front of his tent in the heat of the day, but you can still show grace. You can still extend love and hospitality. And in doing so, yes, it's a gift in and of itself, but it reflects the gift that you and I have received in the person of the Christ, who's come with grace beyond our fullest measure of imagination, who's come with a grace far beyond what simply sated the appetites of these three travelers in the desert on that hot afternoon, a grace and a loving welcome that brings us into the fold of family, that nourishes and nurtures our hearts and our spirits. And if we can learn to do that, if we can learn to be a loving and gracious and welcoming people, if we can learn to do that here at 6th and 7th, God be praised. If we can learn to do that in the expanse of our lives, both here and otherwise, the rest of the other 6 days of the week, God be praised. If we can learn to do that even as a nation and understand that true greatness is shown by the compassion of who we are, then God be praised. So the next time you find yourself in the heat of the day, the next time you find yourself surrounded by your own concerns, look out. Look out into the distance and you may see someone traveling. You may see one, two, three, or more who come to you. Show them grace. Show them mercy. Show them compassion. Because in doing that, you're doing the very same thing that God has done for you. Let the church say amen.